Welcome to Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, a podcast brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. TIPQC exists to improve health outcomes for mothers and infants in Tennessee through our quality collaborative that will identify opportunities to optimize maternal and infant outcomes across our state and is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. The Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast is designed for medical professionals and for patients and families across the state. We will focus on all aspects of the perinatal period with special attention to reducing our maternal mortality rate. This podcast is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health.
Welcome to the Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast, brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. I'm Karen Scetzina, the TIPQC Infant Medical Director. We're excited to have Devin George from Cribs for Kids joining us today. Devin is the Chief Program Officer at Cribs for Kids. She joined the agency in 2019 following her work in pediatric and academic nursing. At Cribs for Kids, Devin oversees the National Infant Safe Sleep Hospital certification along with other advanced professional programs while collaborating with colleagues to develop safe sleep training and education initiatives, including a Safe Sleep Lullaby, live webinars with safe sleep experts, and the Safe or Not Safe photo module. Devin works across the country to promote infant safe sleep. She sits on several state perinatal quality collaboratives, is a member of both the AAP's National Collaborative for Safe Infant Sleep, JPMA CARES Safe Sleep Collaborative, and the ASTM Infant Products Committee, working towards safety standards for wearable blankets. In Pittsburgh, PA, where Cribs for Kids is headquartered, Devin is a member of the county's Child Death Review Community Action Team and leads a safe sleep partnership with Healthy Start. We are so honored to have you join us today. Welcome, Devin.
Thank you so much. I am just as excited to be here as what you said you were excited to have me. So thank you.
First, could you start out by telling us a little more about yourself and how you got involved in this work?
Sure. It, just like most things, it happened with a great unexpected phone call. So I've known of and Cribs for Kids since it was started back in 1998. I unfortunately lost a full-term infant boy, Finn, to a cord accident. And it was the same time that Cribs for Kids was founded, and Judy is well known in our community. And so one of the first things we did was donate a new crib to this new agency in our son's name. And then throughout the time, you know, certainly kept aware of what was happening with Cribs for Kids. And as I was working at a university in academic nursing, where I was the clinical director, which meant that I worked with hundreds of nurses to fill clinical teaching positions and worked with all of the hospitals to secure clinical sites for student teaching. And so because I knew all of these nurses and Judy was familiar with me through Pittsburgh being a big small town, she called and said, hey, I need somebody to come revamp and relaunch our hospital certification program. Do you know someone? And I'm listening to that voicemail and I am loving my job that I was doing at the university, but thought, what an unusual phone call. So I called and talked to her, and what do you know? Here I am and have been here since 2019, loving every minute of it.
Well, thank you for sharing your story with us and for continuing to honor the memory of your baby with this important work. I can tell you're very passionate about it. Can you tell us more about Cribs for Kids?
I would love to. So Cribs for Kids, we were founded, as I mentioned earlier, in 1998. So we've been around a good long time. And our founder and CEO, Judy Bannon, is still in here doing this work every darn day and inventing new ways to support infant safe sleep to reduce SIDS risk and suffocation. And our model is incredibly unique. So Judy discovered a long time ago that funding can be precarious, right? So she has us built on a model where we manufacture, distribute, and sell to partners infant safe sleep products at a value price. And those monies fund all of our free programs. So in an environment like today, for example, where funding is being pulled back, we don't have to worry. We can still be here and do this work and support our partners in infant safe sleep. And we have a number, so the sale of our cribette that has a safe sleep message on it and wearable blankets and pacifiers and all of those tools that support infant safe sleep then support our free programs, like our hospital certification program, our free education programs. And we don't do any of this in a vacuum. You'll hear me talk about, I hope soon, about some of the education and programs that we offer. And we have not only our board of directors that support our organization, but we also have a program advisory board made up of experts across so many different areas that work with infants. And we lean on them and their expertise to help us be sure we are developing meaningful and impactful education and training and programs. And one of our board members, Elmetria Turner of Roots and River Wellness, is from Tennessee.
It's certainly a small world sometimes. You mentioned that one of your focus areas involves providing cribs. How are you working with Tennessee right now to help with this need?
This past spring, I was happily invited to, thanks to PEDU, to present in your Safe Sleep Collaborative and talk about cribs for kids. So we love sharing our resources, particularly in an engaged group such as that. But our relationship with Cribs for Kids in Tennessee goes way back to 2015, when Judy Bannon was invited by Dr. Warren, who was then your director of maternal child health for Tennessee, invited her to meet with the governor and talk about our programs and our resources. And from that, we have now had a contract with the state of Tennessee as one of our purchasing partners, purchasing our cribette pack and plays with that safe sleep message on them and our safe sleep survival kits. And we have that contract through 2027. So lots of resources available all across Tennessee because of your state's commitment to that. And so certainly if people want to learn more about that, we recommend they reach out to their hospitals or their state, their local health departments. But that's really the biggest way that we work with Tennessee, is providing that product and managing that contract. We also, though, have lots of other folks involved across your state. Tennessee has 19 partners with Cribs for Kids, and that includes departments of health, Healthy Starts, nonprofit and community agencies. And that could mean that they are either purchasing our value price safe sleep products, or they could be education partners. So they are accessing our modules. They are using our free education. So we have 19 of those across the state. And Tennessee also proudly has 21 infant safe sleep certified hospitals. And that's through our hospital certification program I mentioned earlier. It's a national program with over 500 certified hospitals. And what we do is Cribs for Kids recognizes hospitals for the infant safe sleep care that they provide. So they've got a safe sleep policy. They train their healthcare team members according to that policy, who in turn educate their families according to that policy. And hospitals can be at the bronze, silver, or gold level. And Tennessee has 17 gold hospitals and 14 bronze, with 8 different health systems involved in that program. So, you know, we're helping Tennessee because Tennessee takes advantage of what we have to offer. And like all of our other programs, so many people in Tennessee reach out and use our free resources and our partner portal.
Well, and we want these partnerships and this work just to continue to grow and grow with you in the state. According to the Tennessee Department of Health, over the past 5 years, almost 1 in 4 infant deaths were sleep-related. Could you tell us about the other services you offer, including education, both in the hospital and in the community?
You bet. Let me talk about some of those free community education resources. The first is our cornerstone education piece, which is our Safe Sleep Ambassador. Over 60,000 people have completed this module. We, of course, update it always with the latest recommendations and as language changes. So if you can, anybody can access that. You go to cribsforkids.org, Safe Sleep Ambassador. It's all under our education menu. And I know that a lot of this will be in the show notes so that people can easily access that. But that is a free online self-paced module. It takes anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes to complete. We have everybody access that, you know, whether you are a parent caring for an infant, or if you are somebody supporting a family in their safe sleep commitment, or if you work in the safe sleep community or work with infants, you can go on and take that. The great thing is when you complete it, there is, of course, an evaluation, a quiz that you take afterwards. And once that's successfully passed, you're presented with a certificate. So a lot of times hospitals or community agencies will require that their team members complete that, and then they're able to show that certificate of proof of completion. But you can also share it with anybody who is going to be caring for babies. So a grandparent or a neighbor, anybody who's doing that, again, because it's free and easily accessible. We also added to that last fall our Safe or Not Safe Sleep photo module, because you find when you go over, though, this is what infant safe sleep is. But when you get into a home and you look at it, and somebody's like, well, is that safe? And you see a head tilt and you're like, I don't know. I'm not sure. So we developed, again, with a lot of feedback from our program advisory board and those that support us and partners, we developed a Safe or Not Safe photo module. Again, free online. It's a series of 26 photos. And you can say if you think that photo is safe or not safe. And the module tells you what is safe about it, what's not safe about it, and points you to some resources as well to continue education or report if you see an unsafe sleep photo and how, or unsafe sleep, how to manage that. Again, that is free online on our website. You can do that one individually, maybe too. You want to kind of assess your own knowledge, or you want to evaluate your knowledge after some learning that you've done. But we also love it in a group environment to generate conversation. So that is a really great tool to have out there. And then we have our Safe Sleep Academy, which is a dedicated website to support infant safe sleep. We have Safe Sleep Champion webinars. We have a whole library of about 13 of them out there now, where we talk to people in different areas of safe sleep, whether it's supporting safe sleep, challenges to safe sleep, the latest research in safe sleep. And again, we'll have the link in the show notes there. All free, all shareable. We also have a free library of safe sleep photos. One of our biggest challenges, right? If you go out and put in a search in photo of infant sleeping, what you see just is like hair-raising stuff. So we provide a resource of photos that anybody can use, whether you're using it for your marketing materials or your own website, or if you need to use them to promote infant safe sleep on social media, by all means, they are there for that. And that is part of what we offer too, is our social media. Super simple to follow and share if you're looking for a community that supports that. Coming up later this year, we'll be launching our professional training series. So this builds on our Safe Sleep Ambassador. So it's a prerequisite to complete that. And then throughout the course of the next 6 to 8 months, we'll be launching modules specifically for people that work in the infant safe sleep community. The first that we're doing is our child welfare worker module. This has been 2 years in the making across our state of Pennsylvania. We are so excited to launch this. We'll have a professional series landing page, launch those modules, which, like the Safe Sleep Ambassador, will be self-paced, but more in-depth about particular areas. And again, we'll have a quiz at the end to evaluate learning. But we're doing this for child welfare professionals, first responders, home visitors, doulas, nurses. Did I forget one? Probably child care professionals, first responders. I'm sure I said one of those twice. And then later on this year, we will be doing a Safe Sleep Month for October, launching a Safe Sleep Story Time. So again, inviting the community in to share this, because this only works when we open our doors and open our hearts and everybody joins in on this message. So those are a lot of our programs, and the hospital certification program that I mentioned earlier as well.
Well, just a wealth of education and training resources. And I love the Safe or Not Safe photo module, because as you said, in real life, questions come up. So it's wonderful to have that resource. For our hospitals, what types of resources could our hospitals utilize? And also, how can they become certified if they're not already?
Terrific. I love this is what I came to Cribs for Kids to do. So happy to expand the work that I do here. But this one is really near and dear to my heart. It was actually the hospital certification program was built on some legislation that Judy Bannon got passed in our state of Pennsylvania that requires hospitals again, across our state of Pennsylvania to provide infant safe sleep education to anybody being discharged with an infant. So after that legislation went through, people started calling Judy, like, can you help us get this through? Can you help us get this through? And she said, no, I cannot. I know everybody in Pennsylvania. It took me 5 years. So no. So instead, in her brilliance, she worked with Mike Goodstein, who is a neonatologist. He's on the AAP Safe Sleep Committee. He's on our board. They worked together to take the tenets of that bill and build a certification program, which we've expanded over the years, but super proud. It's been around for 10 years. 2015 is when it was launched. And so to have this mark its 10 years, really special for us. We have hospitals seeking their third five-year designation. We've worked hard to put out on our website everything that a hospital needs to earn that safe sleep certification. We know that hospitals, you know, need to be able to work independently. We don't want to have them having to keep, but what about this? But what about that? So all of the information is at cribsforkids.org under hospital certification on our programs tab. So, and we provide all the resources that hospitals need to achieve certification, and you can use those resources whether you're applying for certification or not. So we have the foundation of certification is in the Safe Sleep Policy. So we provide a policy guide and sample policies of hospitals that have earned education. We provide training resources for your healthcare team members. We certainly provide those education links for a lot of the things that I spoke about. And then we also, as you add to your certification, there is the silver level, which is either the use or distribution of safe sleep sacks, wearable blankets, and doing audits. And then at the gold level is you're adding, assessing for and providing a safe sleep environment for families that are at risk, and also doing community outreach to different channels throughout the year. So we provide tools for those. Again, so we've got sample social media posts, sample community events that you can follow. I do want to mention that at the silver level, when I mentioned the use or distribution of wearable blankets, that sometimes could be a real barrier for hospitals to progress in their safe sleep certification. So with some of the inventory challenges and pricing challenges that we faced over COVID, we wanted to remove that barrier. We would have hospitals performing at the gold level that couldn't get to silver because of that wearable blanket, whether it was operational or budget barriers. So we launched, and again, you can use this if you're applying for certification or not. We launched an all-employee non-clinical education module. So again, this is free. You can request permission to look at it. You can upload it to your hospital's LMS. And every employee who gets a paycheck from the hospital can take this module that replaces the silver wearable blankets, can also act as a community outreach. But it's also just a great way to quickly educate so many people in your community about infant safe sleep. When we launched this, we trialed it with a hospital in Connecticut. To be sure, where could you upload it? Did it make sense? Was the language appropriate? Could it be easily accessed and tracked? And when I tell you, in a matter of less than 90 days, this town in Connecticut had over 4,000 employees go through and learn about infant safe sleep. I mean, the reach of that was really incredible. So again, that's a resource that's out there. And I do want to mention, like everything else, our hospital certification program is free. There is no charge to earn certification. And you apply, everything is done online. We have RN reviewers who review that. When you earn certification, you earn that certification for 5 years. And we ask that you send an annual report, which we actually provide to you, an annual report every year, just to tell us you continue to provide care at the certified level. So we hope that we've made it a manageable process. And really, so many hospitals are doing this work already. And it's about recognizing your team members who are coming together and doing this work and getting them that recognition for the work they're doing. And we do this on a system level, an individual hospital level. We have hospitals with 50 births a year and hospitals with 12,000 births a year who've earned certification. So it's there, and we hope we provide all the tools there.
Well, thank you for providing all those details about programs for hospitals. And we'll definitely have the website link in the show notes for today's episode. What about families who may be listening today? Are there other supports that they might want to utilize for their child or themselves or someone they know?
Sure. We certainly recommend that they reach out to agencies like Healthy Mom and Healthy Baby to their own health departments. Tennessee does a wonderful job at the state level on providing accessible, meaningful education. So we aren't the only ones who are doing this work, but we know that we work together as a team. So we recommend that they reach out to their community hospital to find out, is there safe sleep support? Is there outreach in that regard? But what we really recommend is that families find a safe sleep community, typically in their social media, that supports their journey. We know that families most often, or not as often as we would like, maybe aren't tuning into what their doctors and nurses and community health workers are telling them, but often will lean into what they see on social media or what they hear from friends and family members. So while we hope families will spread the safe sleep message, we also do want to point families to support in social media. What tends to happen is you find a community in social media that supports that you want to do, and it just keeps fulfilling that what you want to do. And too often there's unsafe sleep messages on social media. So we do like to recommend that families go find a page or a community that they really like. So whether you're on Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok, we have accounts that we recommend. So some of those social media accounts, for example, on Facebook, we love Safe Infant Sleep, the evidence-based support group. There's over 170,000 members. It's around the world, so that if a mom is struggling at 2 a.m. here, there's somebody in Australia who might be able to message them and give them some support. There's also then feeding into that and supporting that is the evidence-based sleep training, so that as you're struggling with that 4-month sleep regression, that you can lean into that group on Facebook. Instagram, we love Dr. Freehas Pettymom, who's a child safety expert and does wonderful messaging on infant safe sleep. And the Safe Infant Sleep group, again, is on Instagram. And TikTok, some of our favorites are Shana Raphael. She's the mother of Claire, and she's the founder of the Claire Bear Foundation. She does wonderful videos on infant safe sleep. I cannot say this, Well-Rested Wee Ones on TikTok is a pediatric nurse practitioner and breastfeeding counselor, Katie Borzikas, who's also on our program advisory board. She does amazing work in supporting families on how to keep sleeping safely.
Well, it's a great point that support that you can find at 2 a.m. is really important. So thank you for that. Again, for patients or families who might be listening, is there anything else you would want them to know or any other advice you would give them?
Well, I do want to talk about what we say, practice safe sleep, but we need to finish that sentence, which is practice safe sleep to prevent suffocation, deaths, and reduce SIDS. That's what all these recommendations are for. So think about safe sleep as to what is going to prevent those suffocation deaths, which are more deaths than we talk about. And I think that's the important message, right? Is that, for example, we know that there were 10,000 deaths a year prior to 1998. We got babies on their backs so that they aren't sleeping too deeply, right? It's about arousability. We got babies on their backs and that fell. It fell to 3,800, 3,700, 3,500, but now we're back up to 3,700 deaths. That's more than 10 babies a day. If there were 10 children dying a day in any other fashion, we would hear about it in the news. So I know in our county, we lost over 24 babies last year. That's 2 a month to sleep-related deaths. And I was speaking to an audience of nurses and doctors, and they couldn't name one of those babies or couldn't recall reading about one of those deaths, because they are tragic deaths and they are preventable deaths. We don't talk about them in the media. And because nobody knows that it's happening or thinks it's happening, parents don't change their care of their baby because of that. And doctors like you, if you don't know, it doesn't inform your practice. So I think that's our big next step, is to understand how often this happens and why the sleep recommendations are important and what we're trying to accomplish with those, right? Keep baby arousable by using a pacifier, sleeping on their back, sharing that room. Keep baby healthy by getting your vaccines and breastfeeding to boost their immune system, because sick babies are brought into bed, right? That's what we do to comfort them. And that's when bad things happen. And also, you know, to prevent that suffocation. That's why there's wearable blankets, no bumper pads, flat, firm surfaces. It's kind of, so if we make those decisions and follow safe sleep to prevent those suffocation and reduce that SIDS risk, I think that helps parents maybe make some better choices, understanding what the risk is and what's at stake. Because we say, you know, safe sleep seems simple, but it is so challenging, so challenging.
It really is. And that's such a helpful reminder of exactly how important this work is. Thank you again, Devin, for talking with me today. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up?
Well, I could probably keep you on here for another hour, but I'm sure you have things to do. But I just want to remind people too that these babies that we lose in sleep-related deaths, these are babies who are being loved on and comforted. These are not babies dying of abuse or neglect. So we need to do what we can to support parents to keep these babies with us, make sure that they make it to that first birthday.
Well, thank you again. And thank you for all that you do.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate being invited to talk with you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, presented by TIPQC. TIPQC is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health. Do you have ideas for a future guest or topic, or even have a question you would like answered on upcoming episodes? Visit www.tipqc.org, that's TIPQC.org, and click on podcast to submit suggestions and questions to our podcast team. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast to be the first to know when new episodes are available, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube to stay in the loop with our active projects and other relevant news relating to perinatal health in Tennessee.